Amen. Tonight, I want to pray about some things that I've learned today. I learned earlier that just a few minutes ago that there was 85,000 children that they can't find that has come across the border through the what do they call it? Homeland Security. And they don't know where they are. And they're supposed to be the ones that take care of these kids. And anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I ask Father God that you send out the angels to find these children and to let us know, let the people know where they are, let the people that would care to let them know, Lord, in Jesus' name, where these children are, every single one of them. And I thank you, Father, for exposing this nefarious deed that these people are doing to these children. And I praise you and thank you for that, Father. Glory be to God. I thank you, Lord, that you will expose the whole corrupt system of this Homeland Security, FEMA, all of these bad actors that call themselves taking care of the people in America that are not doing their job. In fact, they're coming against them. And I praise you, Father, for exposing every nefarious deed that they have done. I thank you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, I thank you for a good night tonight. I thank you, Father, that we will be led by your Spirit tonight. That we can be led by your Spirit, that we will be led by your Spirit. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, for all that you're going to do in this fellowship tonight. Bless us with your presence. Bless us with your words of wisdom coming from your people out here, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for your grace upon us. I thank you, Lord, for having you told us you're going to pour out your grace in a mighty way. And I believe it, Lord, and I thank you for it. We need that grace. A lot of times, Father God, we go into condemnation because of some little mistake we made or some mistake we made, and we repent, and we don't we tend not to understand that it's all by faith. We repent, we go on. And we just live by the moment, by the very moment, and keep our eyes on you. If we do that moment by moment, by moment, by moment, that we'll be overcomers. And I praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in everybody, because we're coming into this great, wonderful time of the tribulation that's going to do two things. It's going to purge the apostate churches of your elect, and the elect is going to find the truth from your man, child, and bride church, Lord, and I thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful time we're in and all the provisions that you have already given. I'm waiting for the time of this beginning of the anointing of the man child and the anointing of the bride. What an awesome time, Father God, that we live in. And I thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you've made available to us for us to walk in. And I thank you for those, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for making each and every one of us bold in our faith. Bold in our faith like Elijah when he declared you as God in front of the Balaam priests, Lord. Give us that boldness and the boldness of Caleb and Joshua when they came out and said, we can take these giants. There ain't nothing to them. Bless God, we can take them. And Father God, just let us be known, let it be known that you will back up Every promise in your word, if we would just trust you and not upon our own understanding. And Father God, I praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And I declare and decree that everybody here that needs healing is healed in Jesus' name. Everybody that's here that needs healing is healed already in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory to God, man. I feel Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just blast out here in a song in a minute. All right. Just run everybody out of here. All right, anybody got a prayer request? I did that last night. Anna, you remember when I sang last night? Me and Lana sang.
I was putting Shoshana to bed. I missed
it. Oh, you missed it. Oh, my gracious. Number one on the charts today. Yeah, Barry and Marilyn.
Okay. It's Mrs. Barry. And, you know, praise the Lord and hello to everybody and love to you all and everybody be blessed. And I wanted to pray for a lady that lives here in town. She's just a lovely old saint. She's either 88 or 89. And I'd had a little dream about her last night. And the Lord put it on my heart to give her a call today. And anyway, that I realized very quickly that the dream he had given me, you know, had everything to do with why he wanted me to call her. And anyway, Marion is a believer, a strong believer. She reads the word every day. She fellowships with the Lord all day long. She is spirit-filled. We used to work together at the food bank. I would give her David's books, and she just always loved them. And she was one of those ones that, you know, you always knew could connect with Marion. But anyway, when I called her today, she told me that she had been diagnosed with glaucoma, and that she, I guess they put her on oral medication and drops in her eyes. But she felt like the Holy Spirit was really talking to her about that, and she was really kind of wavering. You know, because she had prayed for the Lord to heal her. And, you know, she's seen the Lord do miracles. And, you know, she knows the Lord can do that. And so I want to pray for Marion and ask all my beloved brothers and sisters here to come together in faith for her. I told her we were going to pray for her tonight. And I prayed for her over the phone this morning. So, Father, I just want to thank you for Marion first, Father, because she is just such a blessing. She is just shines brightly with the light of the love of Jesus. She's got a heart for the lost. She's a praise. And, Lord, she is just a blessing. And, Father, we just bind up and cast down, cast out all doubt and fear and unbelief, any wavering in her mind, in her heart. Lord, I thank you that in this trial, you're searching out the deep, deep things in Marion's heart and bringing them to the surface. And Lord, that you grant her the grace to repent and believe. And Lord, you just fill her up with bold faith. And Father, even the gift of faith. And Lord, that she is confessing, especially to some of her family members that don't have the faith that she does, that nope, she's standing in faith. And she's just not going to take any of this medicine because she believes that the Lord has healed her. So, Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in this dear, sweet saint. I see so much the love of Jesus in her. And, Praise God. We say, Marion, be healed in the name of Jesus. And just as Bartimaeus, the blind man on the road to Jericho, he was crying out to Jesus, and Jesus stopped and had him brought to him. And Bartimaeus got up and he threw his, says it cast off his garment. And I think that that garment is just the garment of works and self. And I pray that for Marianne, that she is just casting off all the garments of self-works here and to be healed. And Lord, that she is clothed upon with the wonderful nature and character of Christ, even more than what she already has, and that she is just, the garment of faith and the garment of love. It is just all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit that she is fully clothed upon and standing in faith and walking in faith and confessing faith. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for what you're doing here in Jesus' name. And also, Lord, you know, since we're here at the throne of grace, I'm just so much in agreement with the prayer that Michael prayed. You'd been putting on my heart. I just want to pray for a minute too for everybody. Father, you tell us to pray for the latter rain and the season of the latter rain, and we believe that we are in that season. And Father, we believe your word, what it says, that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house because of that latter rain anointing. And Lord, I just pray that. I know that from some conversations and text with the sisters and music that we're listening to, we're all, you're putting that on our hearts and believing for that. And Father, we want that so much. We want that breath of the Holy Spirit upon us in a mighty way to help us to love what you love and to do what you would do and to make us pure until our will is one with thine to do or to endure. Breathe on us breath of God until we're wholly thine, until this earthly part of us glows with thy fire divine. Lord, that anybody that sees us, they're going to see Jesus in us. They're going to hear Jesus speaking through us, working through us. They're going to see that we walk in the footsteps of Jesus, that we walk in the light of the word. And Father, I'm just asking for a mighty outpouring on us even tonight to encourage us, to strengthen us. Lord, everybody here has needs. You know what they are, but praise God, Father, you are so sovereign and you see everything, you hear everything, you know everything. And you're able to meet, and you're able, you're willing, and the power of God is present to meet our every need according to your riches and glory. And Father, it's all to the glory of Jesus. You will not share your glory with another. And as we go through these fiery trials to burn up our flesh, it's just to burn up our flesh so that our flesh can't touch your glory. And you alone are glorified. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory Amen. Be to God. Thank you, Mary, or Marilyn. Praise God. Woo. Well, y'all are as one, so it didn't make any difference. I'll just say, Mary and Marilyn. Praise God. Okay, anyone else? Ms. Mary. Okay. Anybody else? Praise God. Well, to finish my little thing that I was talking about last night, I posed the question before we started praying. And it was because I had listened to this song before we came in. And I asked the fellowship, I said, "Is anybody here lost your joy? Raise your hand." One person raised her hand, and it was Lana. And so I went over to her. I said, "Where'd you lose it?" And she said, "I don't know." I said, I know where mine is. Mine is." She said, "I can hear it." And she started playing along with me. She already knew where I was going with it. She knew that song. And I started singing, "There's jar, 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 jar down in my heart. Oh, down in my heart." You know, we sang that song. And she knew a whole lot more than I did. I just knew that one phrase, you know. And she started singing the whole thing. It was so awesome. She just took it and ran with it. Didn't you, Lana? She knew what I was talking about before I ever started talking about it, because she raised her hand. I said, "Oh, this is not going to be good for me." But she was real gracious with it. Wasn't you, Lana?
The only thing left to do is sing it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I had just listened to that that song before I came in. I was sitting out on the porch listening to it, and I said, "I'm going to do that tonight. We're going to sing that song." And we did. Those of y'all that do it all. All right. We had a good time with it. Anybody else? Yeah, Anna.
I want to praise the Lord for a couple of things. I had a sore throat for like 2 weeks that the Lord healed. We had our pot blessing, and David asked if anyone wanted any prayer for anything, and they were going around praying, and him and Michael were going around praying, and I asked, you know, a prayer for the sore throat, and it had been like 2 weeks. No other symptoms. I didn't do anything weird. It was just super weird. I never had anything like that. And, man, you don't realize how much you need your voice when you got three kids. Like, I'd be like, "Obi, you need to do this." And he'd, "What? What did you say? I didn't hear you." And he'd be in tears, you know. Because I'd be like, "Why aren't you listening to me?" And, like, it just wasn't very good. And I was just in a lot of pain. And that morning, my voice was just kind of, I wasn't like hoarse, but almost. And after David prayed for me, I was just totally, my voice and throat were just totally restored. And I was out there, I was able to holler across the field to the kids. And it was just like, wow, praise the Lord. Like, thank you, Father. Just praise the Lord. And the other thing I want to praise the Lord about is I started potty training Shoshana yesterday. And I'm just praying and believing, thank you, Lord. It's going to be good. She's going to be quick. She's going to catch on. And so I just did like I usually do. And I just, with the kids, and I just give her the first couple of days just naked and put the potty where she can get to it. And I keep, you know, taking her potty, and if she's naked, then she doesn't have to struggle with, you know, pulling her pants up and down. And they learn a lot quicker that way. So she's been running around the house naked, and you know, but you also can pee on the carpet, you know. And she's had very few accidents, and most of them have
Praise
been
God.
On the linoleum, which, for those
Praise
who've seen
God.
our house, the carpet's a way huger space. And but today, pretty much all day, she has been taking herself to the potty. I offer it to
Really?
Her all the time, but she'll just run over there and she'll go potty by herself. And I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. Like,
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Tomorrow she's going into underwear because we have a Bible study.
All right.
I thank you,
Praise
Lord. I
God.
Just pray right now that she will not go backward in the name of Jesus. We will have no regression. She will understand that this is different than a diaper in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that she will. We are not looking back in Jesus' name, that she's pretty
Amen.
much done in the name of Jesus. I decree it and have no problem night training. Thank you, Lord, for this blessing. And I just thank you, Father, for just putting in her heart to want to do this and to be able to do this. And I just thank you, Lord. You are just so awesome. You can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for teaching her how to pull her pants down and pull them back up again, too, before she goes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. That's quick. That's real quick. Glory to God. That's quicker than and born. All right. Anybody else? Don't say that real loud. Anybody else? We give God all the glory, don't we? Thank you, Father, for doing that for all of us. For Anna and these ones coming up too, coming out. Yeah. Yeah, Missy.
Well, you can't really compare dogs and children with potty training, but Anna's story reminded me when I had gotten my dog Jack when he was a pup. You know, I prayed, Lord, please, because I, you know, house training a dog, you know, and I've had some real nightmares in the past. And when I got Jack, I just prayed, you know, Lord, even before I got him or picked one out, I said, please let this, whatever dog I get, be housebroken very easily. And he was. I mean, it was just like, I think it was we only had him like a week, and he went to the front door rather than the back door where I usually let him out. He would, if he was in the front room, he would go to the front door and let me know he had to go out. So I was like, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So I know how you feel, you know? So thank you, Lord, for those little things, Lord, that really are big things. Thank you, Lord, for Shosho learning real quick.
Thank you, Father.
Already learning quick. Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I got an announcement also, since everybody's in here now, I think. David wanted me to tell everybody hi and to hug her neck, so I'm going to hug your neck. He did. He wanted me to tell everybody hi. Yeah. That's right, Andrew. Oh, my. Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot being done. Yeah. Go ahead, Ben.
Well, this is, I got two requests, I guess you could say. There's a bunch of people getting sick up here, and I think we kind of all know why, what's going on with that. And I'm not necessarily worried. I'd say the only person that I'm really worried about is my grandma. So I kind of want to pray for her. She just turned 83 this weekend. So, Father, and I'll just ask if you all can agree with me on this. Father, I bring up my grandma again to you. I just pray that you use what's going on right now as just a way to show people you, and you're going to use this in a way to bring people to you, your chosen and elect, Father. Lord Father God, we know why you're doing this. We know what's going on around here. And we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing through everything. But I pray a mighty protection on my family, especially my grandma. I pray that that little light that she had when she was a girl, when she was going to church, I pray that she sees that again. I pray that the little Bible verse that I gave to her on her birthday, I pray that she sees that and she can grow from it. Lord Father God, I thank you for taking care of her, and I thank you for taking care of my whole family. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Thank you for growing us, and thank you for bringing us to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Ben, and we believe it is so. Ben, your microphone modulation needs to be turned down a little bit. You're cutting in and out because of it. You're over-modulating. And you can do that down there where the mute button is, or the microphone is on the lower left. Okay, you know, going into audio settings. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Vanita.
Hello, everyone.
I do.
I wanted to pray for my a good family friend of my mom and dad's, and he's been a part of my life all through since I was born. He's been there, but he's 85 now, and he's in the hospital. He just had a stroke, and he's been real weak and in the nursing home for the last couple years. And very dizzy and everything, but he just had a stroke, so they did surgery and said it's not looking very good. But anyways, a couple of years ago, I used to go to their house a lot and spend a lot of time there helping him and his wife. And I used to, you know, they knew I was Christian and I would talk about the Lord. And I got him alone one day and I was talking about the Lord with him, and he said, "You know, I believe more in Jesus than I do any of this other garbage." So I was like, "Praise the Lord!" You know, he was raised a Jain, and that's what they practiced their whole lives. But and so I don't know. He never really came out and said anything or practiced Christianity or anything. But that statement just, you know, it's like I've just been praying that the Lord would just use that and open his eyes. You know, in these days, if he's going to pass, then he'll know the Lord, and the Lord knows his heart and how to move it around when, however he needs to. So I just want to praise the Lord right now for taking care of him and welcoming into the kingdom and, just doing that great work. So thank you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Y'all ready for a good song? I'm not going to be singing, so I know you're disappointed, but thought I'd let Stephen McWhirter have a good run at it. Okay.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best despised by the world has a wandering attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above, yeah, to bury under Calvary, yeah. So I'll cherish the old worldly cross, yeah, till my trophy
That was a good rendition of that. Amen. Anybody else got anything they'd like to talk about before we get into Proverbs? Anything they want to say? Yeah, Geneva?
I just wanted to ask for a prayer real quick, if y'all didn't mind. I have my second ultrasound on this Thursday. Yeah. So, anyways, that's the anatomy scan or whatever. But I just, if you all just pray, you know, it's all good. Everything's good, and it's just a quick in and out appointment, like it has been.
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Go ahead, Anna.
I can pray. Yes. Lord, we just thank you, Father, that there is nothing wrong with this child and there's not going to appear anything wrong, Lord, because you are perfect in all that you do, Lord. You're the Father who gives perfect gifts and you do everything right, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that baby's got every single cell in its place and that ultrasound is going to reflect the truth that's in your word and nothing else, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for favor with the midwives through this whole time. And I thank you, Lord, just cast down any anxiety that could try and come on them. And I just thank you, Lord, this baby is perfect and whole, Lord, because that's what you do. You made everybody whole that came to you, Father, and you create everything perfect and we don't receive anything less. Thank you, Father. We command this ultrasound to show the truth that's in the word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. This is going to be perfect and it's going to show everything exactly what the midwives want to see. That all the little tests they look, the chambers of the heart and the brain and all these little stuff, they're going to be able to get it all and they're not going to have to schedule another ultrasound, Lord. They're just going to be able to see everything they want to see the first time without having questions. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. That baby's okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, let's pray for Joe DeBrowsey. He needs some grace. He fell today at work in the midst of the battle. To not be selfish in getting back up and moving forward despite my failures. Yes, Lord, we thank you for that. And Joe, we thank you, Father, for your mighty grace that you put on him. And I thank you for your overcoming power of your Holy Spirit working in him to keep him right on the road, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Joe. Praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that for Joe? Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. All right, Joe, you back on the road, brothers. All right. Anybody else? Okay, let me look here and find out. We're at, does anybody know where we are in Proverbs? I used to know. We're still in Proverbs 1. Yeah, I thought so. Are we somewhere like, about 8?
No.
About 25.
125?
25,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's see. I'm going to start back at 22, and I'm going to read it, okay? How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their way and have the fill of their own devices. Okay, let's stop there. It looks like, anybody want to comment on this? On these? I'm going to leave it up to y'all. Well, let's go at it one verse at a time. 22 says, how long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? Yeah, Julie.
Well, I wasn't really prepared to go one verse at a time, but what was coming to me when you're reading that, those verses, Michael, was the, when Jesus, you know, gave the parable of the wedding of the king for his son, and everyone made excuses and wouldn't come. And, you know, he sent a servant out to keep calling them and they wouldn't come, and he wanted his house to be filled, you know. You know, that's just what was coming to me when you're reading that, just, you know, how he's calling for people, inviting them to come and partake of, you know, his goodness and all that he has to give. And so many people, they're just so caught up in the world and they're not listening. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with, you know, church. They don't want to do anything, but, you know, live their lives. And they're I'm sure you have heard this, you know, it's like, I'm living the dream. I'm doing this. I'm getting here. I'm doing this, and I have everything I need. And, you know, it's really sad. But that's where a lot of people's mentality is.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I have called and you refuse to listen. I've stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. What does that sound like, yeah? Man, he's poured out a bunch of things. I'm fixing to pour out some more. Babylon is going to hurt a lot of people, and God's going to let him to do it, and for one thing, that's to get their attention to come into the truth of the gospel rather than listening to man, to get them to go back to the word of God and listen to the word of God rather than what that apostate preacher's telling them up there, that once saved, always saved, and all of those nefarious doctrines that they have brought into the church. It's going to bring them out. And the people that's going to receive them are the ones that's going to have the signs and wonders following them. They're going to go right to them. And the truth is going to come out, and they're going to be saved. But the apostate preachers won't have much to do about it. They'll be so mad at the truth of the gospel. It's simple. Go ahead, Patrick.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
I think the thing that was coming to me was, I was looking at, the Lord is saying, you know, you simple ones that love simplicity and delight in scoffing and hate knowledge, and turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. And it's like the church has lost its ability to repent or to turn or to take that reproof and adjust for it. You know, and that's where the Holy Spirit is connected in that process, is connected to our walk as we turn, as we are able to take that reproof and respond to it, respond to God through that motivation and change our ways and adjust to his ways. And I was kind of getting the feeling of a time crunch, or, you know, there's I've often heard it said that, you know, when things get really bad, you know, God's going to pour out his grace at that time, and people will be able to function, and they'll be able to respond. They'll be able to survive the situations that are coming because of his tremendous grace that he pours out in that time. And of course, the problem connected to that is that grace is motivation for our heart. Is not only favor, but there's an aspect of motivation and empowerment. And if we have, like it says in verse 24, if we have refused to respond to that reproof prior to that time, there may be grace being poured out upon our life, but will we be prepared to receive that grace, to humble ourselves to God's mighty hand and receive that grace and be able to respond in faith and receive it? And obviously, if we, you know, the rest of these verses imply that if we have refused and continued to refuse and refuse and refuse, that when the time comes later on, when we're going to need God's grace and God's empowerment in our lives to walk above the devastations that are coming in into our world. If we have refused up to that point, it's going to be very difficult to receive that grace at that time. And I get the kind of the feeling that, you know, a lot of, you know, what we walk through as disciples is a learning process of, I know with me, it's been a, about 90% failure and get back up and go through the process again. And even though we fail and get up and dust ourselves off and continue again and fail, there's always a process in that learning curve where we finally get it, we understand it, or we're able to grasp it by faith or whatever enlightenment that God should give us, whether it be deliverance of some point or something like that, but we're able to get it. And so we to a certain degree enjoy a learning curve now as we stumble through this process and fail and acquire and finally acquire. But there is coming a time when there will not be time for a learning curve. You're going to need to catch it and go for it and grab for all the gusto and trust God, whether you know all the facts or see all the facts or see everything, you're going to have to grab onto God and trust him no matter what it looks like. And, you know, in this time coming up, we're going to be, you know, looking at life and death situations. You know, we just need to trust God to receive his grace now, receive the corrections now that he's bringing into our lives, and trust him to, that as we, continue on with him, he prepares us for this time. And I'm just trusting exactly that that's what's happening. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Father. Okay, Missy, go ahead. Thank you, pal.
Well, Michael, some things that you said triggered these thoughts coming to me about this. You know, David's encouraged us to warn people about the judgments coming. And I sent an email to my family warning them about the judgments and expressing the love of the Lord, and that, you know, we all need to repent of all sin. You know, I didn't, you know, it was just like I really prayed and asked the Lord, and I wrote it out, and then he had me go back and personalize it more, put yourself in there too, that this includes you. Anyway, that's what the Lord was sharing with me and showing me. And when you were just saying that, I don't remember what it was exactly you said, Michael, but triggered me, and it triggered the thought in me, you know, don't be concerned if it seems like they're not receiving it, you know, but when things start happening, they will, when they know things are really start happening. I mean, we've been seeing, for lack of a better way of saying it, mild judgments compared to some other places, like especially the earthquakes. We haven't seen nothing in the earthquakes compared to other parts of the world. But, you know, when things really start happening, and I think, you know, just really hitting home, they'll ask, they'll come to you, and, you know, and Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that Everyone that you've put in our hearts to warn, Lord, that you will give us the words to answer once when they come to us, Lord. And that we need not to fret what to say, is just like you told me, you know, in writing this email, not to fret, you know, not to worry about, just sit down and I'll give you the words. And, you know, and so I thank you, Lord, for putting all our hearts at peace and at rest about it, Lord, and knowing you hear our prayers, Lord, for our families, and not to walk according to what we see, that their lives, and how messed up their lives are, and how much they love the world, Lord. Lord, you're going to tear down the world before their very eyes, Lord, and they're going to see that they have no other place to turn but you, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, that they will realize, Lord, that they will realize that you have the answer and that there's no other way. Nobody else to go to that can help them and save them but you, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. One thing we need to understand is when we pray for our family, just know that they're coming in. And this time coming ahead, like when Missy was talking about, the time coming ahead is to get their attention locked on the Lord. And like we've said many times before, it doesn't make any difference what happens to them as long as they're in the kingdom. That's our ultimate goal, is to get them into the kingdom. We'd love to have them with us, you know. But the ultimate goal is to get them in that eternal kingdom of the Lord's, where we're going to be, if as long as we stay in there too, you know. And I'll tell you something else. If we, the closer we become to the Lord, the less fear and anxiety you're going to have during this terrible time. And let me tell you something, it's not going to be anything that you've ever experienced before in your life or anybody else's life. So it is incumbent upon us to be that stronghold that they can turn to, and to have the no fear.
Would that work for you?
Hi, Debbie.
Okay.
You're not muted.
I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry. My grandson called me.
All right. No
sorry.
Problem. That's okay. Repent. Anyway, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, it's up to us, because when something happens to us because of our negligence, they're at risk. Just remember that people's lives depend upon us, our prayers. That's what I'm talking about, is our prayers. And we want to be there for the whole family. We want to be there for our friends, our brothers and sisters, all of that. And the way to do that is get close as you can to the Lord. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Well, another thing that, you know, like, you know, I've been praying about this for a while, and the Lord, you know, about what to write, you know, and just things were, you know, going through my mind and everything, and I wrote it all up, and it was like the Lord says, "You forgot the good news." So many words. In other words, what he told me was, "Is you got to tell them that there's a great revival coming. You got to give them the good news, you know, about signs and wonders and God's provision and healing, protection, and blah 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 blah, you know." So anyway, I just wanted to share that too, you know, because it's like, I know in the past when I've shared things with my family, you know, I only talk about the doom and gloom, you know? And so, it's like, okay,
I'll tell you
Lord.
Something that I've done, Missy, is I've sent them all the truth about the born again, about being born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I sent them. Now they got it, what they do with it, you know. They're going to hunt for it when all hell breaks loose, you know. What was that was talking about?
Mm.
Go ahead, Missy.
Well, you know, back in September of 2019, 6 months before things happened here with COVID, you know, I sent out just a simple gospel and, you know, about that there's things coming on the world and you need not fear, you know, if you trust in the Lord, whatever. And I still had that. And the Lord wanted me to attach that. So I sent that out too. And so I made some comments about that. So so it wasn't the first time I had done that kind of thing. It's kind of easy to write an email because it's not confrontational, you know, and they can go back and read it over and over rather than you have to repeat over and over or whatever, you know. And it's just, I think it's just an easy way, you know. But anyway, just some thoughts on that.
Okay. Ben, you had your hand up a while ago. Did you have something you wanted to share? I don't miss nothing, brother.
Well, it's not much. It was mostly Pat pretty much kind of covered what I wanted to talk about, but it was these verses that were brought up in Proverbs. It just kind of reminds me of these people are spiritual sons of Esau. They've partaken, they had that blessing, and they sort of what does it say in Hebrews? They partook of the mess of the meat or something like that. And it also reminds me of that verse in Matthew 24 that the sun and the moon and the stars shall no longer show their light or show their glory or something. And, you know, the Lord uses us to show his glory to people, but he's not going to use us anymore in that time. His grace is basically going to be just cut off at that point because they partook of too many bowls of meat, I guess. And then God's going to have enough of it. You're muted.
Do too much.
Yeah.
They do too much. Yeah, that's sad, but that's what's going to happen. We've seen it here. People just get to a point where they don't want to go any further with the Lord. And it's very heartbreaking. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, in every single phrase here, you have the mention of, for instance, there's the turn at my reproof. There's the word reproof. I'll make my word known to you. Because if you do repent, he called and they refused. He stretched out his hand. And of course, they don't want his word on his hand. In their hand. And you've got to put your hand in the hand of, there's no regard. I've not all my counsel. All these different words for the word. And it's supposed to be, well, living is the word of God and active. And where is this word supposed to be active? It mentions these people as being simple, you know, and there's a simple verse in 7 and 7 of Proverbs 2. And why are these people not active in the word? You know, if living is the word of God and active, everywhere you go, everywhere I be, Jesus is mine, you take him with you. And, you know, I went for a walk today and I was just thinking about all the people in the houses that I was passing by. And I go, how many people know the word? How many people have any idea what's going on in the world now? And like, if they don't know the difference between boys and girls, and you get 12-year-olds out there trying to teach the grown-ups and the government how to, that there's more, that there's not more than two genders then. Anyway, if it's supposed to be living as the word of God and active, you know, then, and in him we live, move, and have our being. And if it's, you know, I was reading, what was it, Numbers. Was it Numbers or no, it was Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I got this verse over my door here that says, the righteous shall live by faith. And there's actually a verse there that they used to do that, I guess, at the door of their gates and stuff. And I knew about the verse, but I just didn't know where it was. And it was in there, you know. So if you leave my apartment, you'll see the righteous shall live by faith, you know. And there's the living word to be that righteous person that you should be. And of course, the Lord makes you righteous by his grace. He gives you this righteousness that you will desire to live in the righteousness of the Lord. He that is righteous doeth righteously, even as he is righteous. And it just seems like they don't want his word at all. And of course, we know that his word is creative. It creates in you Christ Jesus. We are his workmanship. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus upon good works. And goodness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and goodness has parameters to it of knowledge and teaching and wisdom and understanding and even the fear of the Lord. And the Lord, like I think you went down to the verses where it mentions, and they choose not to fear the Lord in verse 29. I don't know if you read that one. But then there's this whirlwind, and which is a judgment. And I just find it very heartening that because they don't want to go to the Lord, what's this laughing noise that he's going to make? What's that going to sound like? You know, and the mocking, like, I know that they mock the Lord's word. They mock at it and they scoff at it. So it almost seems like here in the 26th verse that he's returning it to, you know. And, you know, sometimes these simple Christians might be around some of these people that might make them do something wrong, you know. And it's kind of like they're being baited. And I sometimes wonder if this actually happens even, well, it does happen higher up. You know, they get entrapped. Some of the politicians may have even gotten entrapped into something that they really didn't want to be in, you know. You know, I watched one of those cold cases from 1966. And it was pretty bad. I didn't think people were like that. And these were all high school kids. And it happened in Texas. And it sort of saddened me that at first. And there was this one kid. He had his driver's license. He was in probably grade 12, his senior year in high school. And he had his friend there. And his friend had no idea what this murderous person was like. And he was shocked when he did it, you know, and it's just, he was entrapped to be part of this criminality that he was in. Because he sounded, because in these, they sort of have actors play the scene of the corruption they did, and it was very violent, but it seemed like his friend was shocked at how evil his friend was, you know, and so you get entrapped in these things, and so what it is with a lot of people. And just because some people are saved, they may not realize that you could get trapped into some of these things because of the people around you. Or, you know, you might even agree with a family member on something that they're not really right. And, so you got to be careful as to this. But every single phrase was a negative outcome toward the Word of God here. And the Word of God's supposed to be living in us. We're supposed to be partakers of Christ and partakers of His Word. Jesus is the name called the Word of God, and that's in Revelation 19:13, and it's also in Isaiah 63, and He's the one who treads out the vintage there, and. And we need to, when we read that, we go, well, you know, we talked about earlier on the shedding of blood here. We know what a physical shedding of blood is, but what's a spiritual shedding of blood? You know, if we're supposed to overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and the blood is also attached to this water of the Word, and it's attached to the Spirit of God, then what things could have happened possibly in a person's life where he might be shedding the blood of the spiritual blood. The blood you're supposed to overcome by, they can't overcome by it because they got a different narrative. They got a different word, which is the bread of God, which came down from heaven and gave it life unto the world. It's the water changing into the wine in this earthen vessel of yours. And they don't have that ability to switch over because there's a water word there that's polluted water. It's dirty water. It's a different lifestyle. It's a different blood. It's not the blood of Jesus. So you can see how God really has to intervene on a lot of this stuff to make a person come around. And the actual power to the Word of God, the power to deliver, the power to change you, the power to save you, the power to give you the grace that you need to overcome, the power to even have the grace to enter into the rest that you want to have. Now, I just thought of that now. You know, is it a grace from God to enter into rest? And all those rest verses that are in Hebrews, there's no rest here for this person in any of this word. So it's of course written to the Jewish people of their old covenant, and of course the basis for them would be heavily upon the law, but. You know, there's a certain verse there in that Deuteronomy area that I was reading, and it actually says love. And it points to the word, like that they did have some sort of form of agape and back then too. So the obedience because you want to serve the Lord God in everything. You know, in whatever training the God's giving you to overcome the worldly wise man, so that we could be hardened to that other word that produces a different spirit, a different lifestyle, a different mark, a different name. You know, we don't want the words that confuse and bring down the life of Christ as being absolutely void and null. So we need to have that word so we can have compassion for the lost. And it's sometimes really hard to find with all this bad stuff going on around us. It's hard. It really is. You know, like, come on. No, we know the Lord to be sovereign. And if he's sovereign, and we know that verse in Isaiah, which is the word, it's about his word. You know, he says that he brings the light and the darkness. He brings the good and the evil in that verse in 45 of Isaiah. That's written right in the first chapter of Sovereign God, too. He uses those verses. And I remember them because you take the 45 and you turn it to verse. For the address, it's a 54 verse there. And there's these two verses that, you know, with ill intent, they come against the word because they have no spirit in them. And if they have no spirit in them, some of them get the spirit and they're not bearing the fruit that they're supposed to have through the love of God. It's like being born again for every single portion of Christ that comes into you. For this, you know, it even says so, First John 5:3, 4, and 5. That you want to bear that fruit, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So what is the whatsoever? It's not a whosoever, you know. And I keep remembering that each time I read it. The first time I read it, I said, Lord, is that a typo? Shouldn't that be whosoever is born of God? No, it's a whatsoever. It's a fruit being birthed in your soul. And it is by grace. And we need to do it by grace. And not that we do it, but our sufficiency is from God to do it through us. And we need to have, you know, sometimes when you're young in the Lord shows you stuff. And we need to have those senses exercised toward, you know, a savor of Christ in us. There's no savor in this person. He doesn't want to smell, discern through his nostrils of Christ, to know the word here, to discern it. Like when someone says, oh, that something smells funny, and it's just not there. You know, it tastes. There's English phrases. If this puts a bad taste in my, or something smells funny, you know, and even though they discern it, and there is a discern it through people who are investigators in the police force, but they're doing it towards law. And they have to study a person's character, you know, and what's his MO, you know? Well, what's the MO of the world? You can see it happening now through the iron that's happening in all seems to be down the same area of the world. They're in Ukraine, Syria, Israel, right down through the Red Sea area, where they're, it's all in the same longitude line there. And it's a place where I think the Lord is going to work on these people first. Maybe move on somewhere else too, because they've had a lot of this pain and suffering. Anyways, praise God, glory to God, and we pray that it does work out for their people's good, because it's just a waste. But if God is sovereign, then He made the people do this third, fourth, or fifth gender, you know? He had to go to that length That's pretty sad. You went to that length. And that's heart wrenching. Because, you know, they're not dumb people. They're smarter than I am. They went to university to be lawyers, to be members of the government, to be
that's
your
where
justice.
They made their mistake.
Yeah, and you know, it's the government is supposed to have some sort of religion attached to it. But if it's going to have a free for all to say and believe anything, then, you know, anyways, it's just the time we're in, I guess, you know, you'd never think it was going to be like this, you know. And we have to seek comfort in the Lord, and the Lord sometimes knows some of the things we want to look at. We want to see too. We want to see a blessing for the people. They just, it's like they're trapped. It's like Matthew 25. They got a prison. They need to get out of jail free card. They don't have any clothes. They don't have any coverings. They don't have any axe with them. They don't have, they're sick. And I'm not talking medically. They're strange. They don't have any food. They don't have anything to drink. And it's available right here. You would hope that, you know, like, Ben bought me a Bible. You know, it's the best gift you can give someone. You know, most of my Bibles came to me as gifts from someone. You know, he even took the time to put all these little tags, you know, on the side. He got himself one too. So praise God. Glory to God for someone at least thinking of others in this way. I always wanted one of these Holy Bibles, American Standard Version. It's on good paper too. Like, I'm from the printing field, and it's good book paper and won't turn yellow very quick. And praise God. Glory to God. And I'm going to enjoy having my extra Bible so that when I'm somewhere else in my other study, I can open it here, you know? And I can open up my Bible that I have online too, even though I don't know what some of the brackets mean. Praise and glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I've been looking at this. And the theme is this, is that they keep rejecting the Lord. Excuse me. I am blessed. Okay, and that's the main thing, you see. He called them, how long, oh simple ones, will you love simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Well, as he talks about in here, when it does happen to break up, things start happening that we've never seen before. A lot of people dying. They're going to call out to God, and what did he say he's going to do? He ain't listening. These are people that he has been working with for a long time to come into the kingdom. This is not somebody he hadn't been working with. These are people sitting in the churches listening to the preacher up there telling them what the Word of God says, and they're walking all over Revelation 22.
because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Well, where did we run across that? I think that was back in the first of this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's Proverbs 1 and 7. We went through that some time back. What happened here? Anybody got anything they want to say about what we've just read? Give me just a minute. Okay, we're all better then. Go ahead, Judy.
I just see it as they just have like a real hardness of heart. They're very prideful and rebellious. And, you know, I think too of like the Laodicean church, you know, they have need of nothing. You know, they think that they have everything and, you know, they've got their eyes focused on, you know, whatever worldly riches or even, you know, their denomination or their religion or, you know, it could be a number of things. But just, you know, they just got a hardness of heart and they won't heed the correction or they won't listen to anybody but their, you know, their church pastor or whomever or, you know, it's just, it's sad. It really is sad. You know, like Andrew was saying, you know, that's God's sovereignty. You know, he knows whose are his and he knows who's going to repent. And I know that the Lord hears our prayers for people that, you know, we've come across too, that, you know, we pray for them. It's like, oh, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know how, they don't know what's coming, you know, and they think they, a lot of them, I think as well too, this is, you know, this pre-trib rapture thing. You know, you can't tell somebody who's not going to listen to you. It's like, well, we're just not going to be here and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so they have no motivation to prepare for anything of,
right.
of, you know, calamity or these judgments because they, in their minds, like, well, God's just going to take us out of here. We don't have to worry about that. And they ignore the scriptures about where God says, you know, go into your chambers and hide yourself until all this passes away. And that's in Isaiah 26. I didn't quote that right, but you know, there's things that in there, the Lord's telling you what to do, you know, because these things are coming and you know, you need to be hidden in me, you know, pray that, you know, you will be hidden on the day of trouble and pray that you will be, you know, counted worthy to escape these things. No, we're going to escape out of here. We don't have to face that. We're not going to see that.
Well, that's true. They all are saying that the apostate religion. Well, why do I have to do that? Because I'm once saved, always saved too. You know, they got that thing going, and it's not just the Baptist church either, folks. It's Pentecostal churches that believe that also. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yes, Julie mentioned a wonderful verse there. Just in case someone's going to listen to this recording, to clarify with that inner chamber, I just want to clarify that Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And he's the place. He's your sanctuary. He's God the Father and the Lamb sanctuary. And there are some people who aren't quite as mature lambs, I guess, in that 21:22 of Revelation. And that's the sanctuary that God promises that he, in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16, I will dwell in them and walk. And it talks about the sanctuary there and the idol. And of course, an idol can be the opposing word of God, to oppose the word of God. And the sanctuary is to agree with the word of God, because God's the sanctuary in Revelation 21, verse 22, and the Lamb. And he put the word Lamb there because, like it says in 25 of Matthew, he separates the sheep from the goats. And you have to be a sheep, not a. You have to let God walk. You have to let Jesus, the Lamb, walk in. And it's when the situation comes up that he's going to be there for you, because he promised you he would be. And he's going to give to you all the words you're going to need to have, because that's what it says in John 14:26. And you know, you got to know what that word says, that he's going to, this comforter that he's going to send, you know, it's not, like I was told, mental ascent. That kind of was spooky when I first heard that, mental ascent. But you know, it's a living word that is going to function through you, and it functions through you. You know when you did a boo boo, you know you messed up here. You're not going to argue with God about it, and you're going to do it. You're gonna cast down that. You're gonna use your sword. You have to have your sword fully drawn now. For the weapons of our warfare are mighty before God. You know, casting down reasonings. We gotta use that during temptation. You know, you can get confused when you're reading the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said." You know, like, what is he saying there? You know, like, he's saying, you heard it was said that even if you look upon a woman. Well, we have to deduce that as a temptation from James chapter 1. And we have additional information other than the law. He's trying to show them how to attain a righteousness there through grace, you see, and you know, the Sermon on the Mount there is doing that. You know, we do take the mote out of our eye. And we know what the Lord says. You know, it's tough sometimes when you read it. I don't know why some people want to go back under the law. And it's because that's the way you were trained in these churches that have the letter and have the law. And it kind of really gives you a headache. you just look at that Sermon on the Mount and you go, wow, you know, and that's why it starts out with the blessings, because the blessings come from the Holy Spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. How do we have this righteousness? Because we can recite the Ten Commandments? No, because it's not really fulfilled by law. The law is a curse to us, according to the verse where it says that exactly that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, and we're not under the curse. We're our sin shall not have dominion over us, for we're not under the law. You know, we're under grace. 6:14. Reckon yourself dead to sin. You know, I don't know why they do it. They just keep denying the master who bought them. Someone will get saved. They'll go through the baptismal waters. Oh, you're all a bunch of sinners all over again. You know, and it's very damaging to someone to go through that. Some of us might even be able to speak it and say, I've been damaged. From a place where I should have never been damaged. And when you know, I made the statement that a boy two doors down came to me when I was 9 years old and was trying to tell me about grace. Yeah, he had it right, but his the reason why he was trying to do that is because he wanted to have a friend to play with. Because his parents rarely let him out of the house, you know, and he said, well, I better start saving something. he was pretty tough too, because I said, well, let's go check with all the other kids, and he stuck to his guns, you know, and there was about a dozen kids. But he just wanted to make friends, and you know, and it wasn't my time yet. And yet, you know, I'm sure he prayed for me. And that's a prayer of a child, you know. Mm-hmm. And too much duplicity in the word and how everyone wants to make their church the best, you know. Oh, we're the best. We know it all. And you know, I don't think they get past chapter 4 of Matthew. Because it's just not there where the signs follow. You know, they follow me, Jesus said, and then he has all these signs following him. And we want the signs, but we want the behavior quality first. Not first, but it follows it, you know. It's sort of like we want that infilling of the Holy Spirit, and we want it now, and we can almost taste it all, and we want it, you know, and it's just tough to wait or just to experience the Lord. And then you start thinking, you know, well, I'm the only one left here in Ottawa or whatever, you know, and you go, is the Lord going to use me? Is this going to come? Because it's so the other way in the wrong direction, you know, but you know, you will hear some people know, that secular people know there's something wrong. They know it. And even atheists know something is wrong. That's pretty bad when an atheist knows something's wrong. Common sense is out the door. Well, that's, I just can't get over that. Boys and girls, that's it. You know, you can go to a school. That's a boy, that's a girl. And they all know. I don't get that, you know, and that's sad. That's really sad. What, and I know why it's there, because they're trying to get the younger generation to believe this, those boys and girls. And that's who they're after. You know, when I was a boy and girl, they told me millions and millions of years ago, that's all I had to put up with. And anyways, it's an attack on the Word of God, and that's the emphasis that I'm trying to say there. Yeah, we have a mansion in heaven, and we need to clean our rooms, and everyone better clean their room and find out what it means to be this disciple called Christian. Praise God.
Amen. Anybody else? Oh, read it since we're right there at it. It's part of the same stuff we've been reading. I'm going to start in 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel, and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away. And here's the big one. And the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Boy, that's the good one there. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Just something else that when you were saying the Lord is bringing back to my remembrance here as you were talking about that and what we've been discussing is, you know, there's just so much deception in the church with, you know, the different doctrines that are destroying people, Lord, and my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But verse 23, where it says, turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. And how many of the church don't have the filling of the Holy Spirit? So they don't have the knowledge. They don't have the understanding. And that's part of the problem. That's a huge part of the problem, is because of all the deception that's been spoken and played down about the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the gift of tongues. You know, you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved and all kinds of things that they say that people don't realize there's a difference. And that's a big part of the problem why they're not able to hear and they're not able to repent and they're not able to turn and they're not able to take the correction and they're, you know, but the Lord just keeps calling. No. Anyhow, that was just something that was coming to my mind is, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we're, you know, he's our teacher. He's our counselor. He's
the teacher. Yeah.
He's the one that reveals things to us. So without that, we're nothing. We have nothing. We can't learn. We can't repent. We can't, you know, that's a gift. So there's just all the deception. I think, you know, I've been praying more about that, about praying against that kind of thing in the church and with my family and people I know. And, you know, Jesus said in the, you know, the all of the discourse where, you know, when the disciples came to him and said, you know, when is these things all supposed to take place? When is this destruction supposed to happen? And what will be the sign of your coming? And the first thing he said was, take heed that no man lead you astray. There's so much deception, people leading them astray, it's false teachers. And anyhow, it's just really sad, but you know, thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty and you know who's going to repent and what they have to go through before they come to that place. Lord, get them filled with your spirit and see that there's a difference and it's real and it's for them. Amen.
Amen. Let me just explain something about, how we should talk to people from other denominations. And first thing I would do is to establish a standard of what you're going to talk about. And what's the standard that we go by? The standard is the Word of God. Now, if we can establish that standard, this is what I tell them. If we can establish that standard, then the Word of God is our standard rather than what some man says. And you come across something in the Word of God that goes against your theology, which one are you going to run for? Which one are you going to use? Are you going to use the standard by which we set up, God set up? Or are you going to go by what man has told you? The Word of God says, allow no man to teach you, only the Holy Spirit. And I just paraphrased it, okay? So we have to establish a standard when you talk to somebody from another religion. And if they can't do that, then you just, you know, you wipe the dust off and go on. Because you're not going to be able to get anywhere with them. Until, just consider yourself someone that the Lord is using to get the truth out, as far as, you know, as far as what the Word of God says. And you can't go any further than what the Word of God says yourself. So we have to establish that standard before you go to talking to someone from another religion. I hope that's clear, that pretty clear, because if you just go in there with, well, I said, here's what I saw, or here's what I said, you have to go by what the Word of God says. Here's what David said. Well, we know that David's, you know, he's pretty straight on. He's real straight on. But we have to set up the standard as the Word of God. In every instance, when you're talking to people from another religion, even from the streets, you have to do that. Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
Well, from what you just read from the 26 on, I was thinking of the end times. This is God's wrath here. And in, according to, well, for instance, in Revelation chapter 7, I think the angel come and asks John a question. Who are these dressed in white robes? And of course, John answers, well, you know who they are. And then he says, these are they that come out of great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, usually in a church, they associate the great tribulation with the last 3.5 years. But here you have the wrath of God, and there's still some people around, according to the last verse here. And I was taught that there's 1,290 days in the Great Tribulation. And on the 1,335th day, 45 days into the wrath, there is going to be a rapture resurrection, according to what it says in Hidden Manna, and according to what it says in chapter 12 of Daniel. Because it mentions the 1,290 days and the 1,335th day there. So who are these that are dressed in white? You know, blasphemy rolls off the tongue sometimes. There was two guys there that were delivered over to Satan, Hananias and Alexander, so that they be taught not to blaspheme. And the blasphemos that's coming out of the first beast in chapter 13, at which the second beast in chapter 13, after of the 11th verse, agrees with, is because it says there right in the word that it's going to keep everything in that first beast, and we have a system now where that second beast is in with that first beast in a world government. And they blaspheme God. They blaspheme his name. They blaspheme the tabernacle and them that dwell therein. You know, this word that we're supposed to live by, living is the word of God and active. And we know that the righteous garments of the saints have an activity to them. You are active in it. It's an active obedience of love. And because it's this way, you know who has to be serious with the word. You know that the Lord has to lead you in doing this to bring someone, because that's how serious it is. You know, we're returning to a very serious type of... I don't know if I should use the word serious. Maybe I should earnest of the spirit. And it's an intensity and a seriousness of the Lord. You know, he's not playing a game here. You can't play church. we have to be fortified in that hard to reach place, in the hidden place, and we have a fortress in the Lord. And of course we have our swords drawn to guard the walls. When we build our wall for the city, we need people on the top to watch for us. And we have experienced some good watchers, some people who know how to watch and get ready. So it's interesting that it just popped into my head. Hey, this is the wrath of God, and it might even be for some of the people going through the Great Tribulation. And who knows? How can you? Well, I'm not going to pose that question. It's because it hasn't really happened yet. But this is something we have to get ready and watch for, just like it says in the Word. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, what Julie was saying earlier just reminded me of, I don't know how the Lord did it. You know, He's sovereign. He can do so much, you know, that we don't even see, and we don't understand how in the world He does it. But there were a couple things that, you know, I had to repent of, you know, years ago, that, you know, for believing something that someone told me when I knew better, because I had a respect or person and thought because they're older than the Lord that they knew something that I didn't know, you know, kind of thing. And it just, by the grace of God, you know, the Lord's brought us all where we're at, you know. And it's, you know, I think, you know, I can't take any credit for anything. You know, I think the Lord, that He showed me the truth, and that, you know, I'm not to follow a man. I'm not to follow a church. I'm not supposed to follow a religion. I'm not supposed to follow a ministry. I'm to follow Him. But it just makes me think though too, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, and the Lord's brought that, you know, to my memory. And it's like, and you know, don't follow somebody when they're saying something that's not according to the Word, you know? And and it's so sad because there's so many people that have been so led astray, and they've become so complacent and apathetic, you know, and they look up to people they shouldn't be looking up to, that the Lord never even sent. And Lord, we just ask You for Your mercy upon these ones, that it's all they've ever known, that out of ignorance, Lord, you know, they come into the kingdom and they quickly backslide because they don't know any better, Lord. They haven't had a proper example. And we thank You, Lord, that you're bringing the man-child ministry. You're bringing your anointing. You're choosing your bride, Lord. And all of that, Lord, is by your grace, Lord. We are who we are by the grace of God. No matter what part of the body, what member of the body we are, Lord, all the members are just as important, from the tiniest to the biggest member. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to pour out your spirit and you're going to open eyes, Lord. You're going to get their attention and you're going to have your elect. You're going to save your elect, Lord. They're going to wake up, Lord, by the power of your spirit, by the softening of their hearts, Lord. Mercy triumphs over judgment, but I've often thought, Lord, judgment is your mercy too. It's your discipline, Father, and we just praise you and thank you, Lord. We've all gone through, I've gone through my disciplines, Lord, and you've turned me around from many things, Lord, and I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for what you're doing and what you're going to do, and bringing this great revival to get those who are yours. Just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
I was thinking about those the verses there, especially starting in 26, where it says, I will laugh in the day of your calamity, and I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as a storm and your calamity comes as the whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. They that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And when you read that, you kind of think, wow, it seems like the Lord's being a little vindictive to those, you know, people that, you know, they finally do cry out for him and then he laughs at them or, you know, turns away. And I mean, it almost looks like that. But when you think about it, those that do that, you know, in the previous verses there where he said, how long will you live simplicity? Scoffers love delight and scoff. Turn at my reproof and I'll pour out my spirit to you. And you know what the Lord is saying is, turn and I'll pour out my heart to you. I'll give you my heart. But they refuse to turn at that reproof and so unfortunately, or you know, though it may seem vindictive or vengeful or whatever, it is really the Lord's mercy in that time. Or if a person is refusing reproof, God's correction, the things that he's sending into their life, if they're refusing and they refuse and they continue to refuse, then the only form of correction that the only pressure in their lives that can potentially get them to turn to the Lord is the pressure of those circumstances and those fears and those things that come into their life. And when those things come in, God specifically does not answer those things, does not relieve that fear, but allows that fear to take place in them and to do its work within them. And, you know, when, and it says there in, therefore, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. And God allows that. I believe that the Lord allows that the fruit or the results of that constant refusal to take correction to create its own force within a person. So, and quite frankly, it's the only way that, you know, you only take hold of the Lord by your desire and your will and your crying out to him. And, it's, you know, and the Lord knows when enough is enough in a person, when they will turn from their ways, when they'll be willing to turn over the reins or the control of their life over to the Lord. And so I think this allowing that process to work its way out to the, to almost a final destruction is what some need in order to turn to the Lord. And it's his mercy that he allows that to take place in people's lives. For the backsliding of the simple will slay them, and the careless ease or the passivity, I'm going to say, or of fools shall destroy them. But then he finally ends with that final note, but whoso hearkeneth unto me, believes me, listens to my word, turns at my reproof, those that do so shall dwell securely and be quiet from the fear of evil. So, I don't know. I guess I was just thinking that, I think it was Missy mentioned it, that it is even mercy that God in his judgment is, it's a certain mercy in people's lives to create, allow that, that environment to take place within them, that environment of fear or whatever, to finally turn them to the Lord. If they will be turned, it will only be through that process, I think. Anyway, praise the Lord.
I'm glad you brought that up. Look at 20. Look at verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the market, she raises her voice. Who's wisdom?
Jesus.
That's Jesus. Look at verse 24. Because, who's he talking? Who's talking? Because I have called and you refuse to listen. That's Jesus saying, listen, I have called you to bear the fruit of me. These are people that are already saved. That's who he's talking to. These are not lost people. He's asking them to bear the fruit of him in order to make it to heaven. You have to bear the fruit of Jesus, what, 30, 60, and 100 fold. One of those three. And if you don't, that's what he's telling them. You ain't listening to me. I have reproved you, like Pat was talking about, and you hadn't listened. I have called you. You hadn't listened. And here's what's fixing to happen to you. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about Christians that won't listen to what the Word of God says. How to walk, talk, and act like a Christian's supposed to. And that's to show the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we're out of time. On that note, praise God. It's been a good evening. A lot of good words. Thank you so much. But Lord, we just thank you for your word here. And we praise you, Father, that we're all seeking to bear the fruit of Jesus in our life. We want to be that lampstand on top of the table, Lord, that shines throughout the world, wherever we go. We want to be up there to shine just like Jesus. And it ain't going to be nothing we do other than run after you, Lord. And when we run after you with all our heart, then everything we pray for our family and friends is going to take place. And Father, we thank you for that. We praise you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that everybody here is going to make it into the kingdom of God, bearing the fruit of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Y'all believe that? I do. I just believe everybody here is going to be up there and going to be a light for the God, for the kingdom of God in these next few days. Thank you, Lord. Y'all be blessed, you hear?